I'm Kyle Harmer.
And I'm Sarah Harmer.
And you are listening to our Tub Talk,
a conversational podcast brought to you from the comfort of our hot tub. Hello.
Wow.
Hi.
Hi.
Long time no. Well, I mean, I can't say no see, because...
they weren't seeing us to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the reason is something went wonky one day with our mics, and I was convinced that something was wrong with them, and they didn't work anymore, and that's why we hadn't been recording. Not for any other reason were we not recording.
Life.
Yeah, it's fine. But we weren't taking like a hiatus on purpose or anything like that. It was
no.
Well,
that
you
makes,
were in Poland a bunch.
I don't remember the last one that we did, though. I mean, once we moved in here, it was hard to get back into a rhythm.
That's true. But I want us to be intentional with this time, and I don't want us to get out of practice with it, so. I think it's appropriate that we came back on today, which is your birthday! Today marks
Yay.
The day. Today marks the time that you are older than me.
This is... well, I'm always older than you.
Yeah, but the numbers are different right now.
Okay, all right, there you go. Ah.
Well, that's what I meant.
You're welcome. you snagged this... silver-haired fox.
You have four silver
it's
hairs
true.
On your whole entire
You're the
head.
Silver-haired fox.
Yeah, I've been gray for quite some time, so. But I actually was thinking that I would like to go gray.
I mean, you've done it before, just not natural. Meaning stop dyeing your hair.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But...
I loved the gray when you did it.
But dye my hair gray in the meantime, yes. And
like
then let it grow
before.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. That was dope when you...
And then I could play with the colors, like making it lavender, or making it pink, or making it like blue.
Now you're just describing what you do now. You've circled back to just staying the same.
You're not wrong, but there's not... It would be cool to have some natural hair going on, I think, because my hair is really cool.
Yeah, that's why I'm just moving into my feral age.
You're not feral. I mean...
Listen, there are times
when... We can argue that later.
There are times that I wake up during the night and my hair is just everywhere and I'm like, ugh. And it's only going to get longer. I almost said worse, but that's a bad adjective for it.
Yeah, that's not true because you're growing it out to be able to...
We're a couple minutes in. Hi, friends. This is the Tub Talk podcast where Kyle and Sarah talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then maybe you listen. I don't know what we're doing. We don't have cards or anything. You wanted to record.
We don't have cards, but
this will be a shorter
one. This will probably be a shorter one. I first wanted to ask you...
Happy Earth Day.
I don't have any questions for that. I apologize to my Earth friends. I don't have anything to call
to my Earth friends. That is all
I
of
guess
them.
Is all of that you. Is, that is,
are you apologizing to your plants that you killed over the winter? Oh, sorry. Trigger.
Hmm. It just means I get to replace them.
Oh, yeah. Diddly diddly dee.
Because now I know what doesn't work. And
yeah, leaving them on the side porch that is not insulated or heated.
Yep. But a lot of, yeah.
Okay, it's got great sun, but that's not enough.
Correct. Okay, so anyways, I just wanted to have like a conversation with you. I wanted to intentionally ask you questions because today is a big day with it being your birthday, and I'm glad you have a drink. It'll make for an easier conversation. It'll give you something to do with your hands so you won't like touch stuff.
I don't know where this is going.
The first question I wanted to ask you is what is one of the greatest lessons that you've learned as a man in your 40 years of life?
Greatest lessons that I've learned. I don't know how to put that in a way of as a man, so I'm just gonna as a human.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I've learned anything great in 40 years as a man.
Okay.
Men should slow down and shut up and listen. I think that is a man answer that is applicable.
Yeah.
Take the time to enjoy what you have. Even if that's just, even in the midst of like busy and chaos, you can pause for even a couple minutes to reflect. It's kind of that idea of like starting the day with like gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, starting the day by thinking purposefully not on whatever shit the day has ahead of you, but on what you have that is good. Even small things help you carry on and I think be a better version of your.
I think one of the things that I've noticed about you that inspires me the most is who you've become with your beliefs. I love that you treated the unfortunate, monotonous work and effort that was our church life, and you now spend it almost weekly with two friends that you've had for a very long time, mm-hmm. and they speak into you, and they call you out for things, and they don't let you, they hold you to a standard, and I appreciate that they are kind of a constant in your life, and that, even as Andy's going through everything he's going through, you know, you guys are still, you're still maintaining your friendship and building it. I think it's a beautiful thing.
And I mean, you kind of touch on one that's like, I don't even know that it's something I've learned because I'm learning, because the decade of our 30s has been a roller coaster in many ways.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I wish I would have put more effort into before we were to the point that we are now is really being intentional with friendships that were grounded in, I don't even know how to put this. We left the church world and didn't have good tools on how to foster a community outside of that. For all the things that are bad about it, and I don't want to spend too much of this episode dwelling on that, but like for all the things that it has wrong, it definitely has the market on like creating a version of community. Yeah. And I say that intentionally because I think it's a version, because if it was healthier, then when we leave it, we should be able to keep more. We should be able to maintain more of it than we were able to. And we thought we were going to be able to. So I wish I had known how better to foster those relationships outside of the church world. We're still learning that. We don't have a handle on it per se, but I feel like
we have a basic desire.
Well, yeah, we have a desire, but I feel like we're making strides in it as opposed to just being like, well, 40 is when we go into a time period of only our family.
No, I think we have a good balance of spending time with people, and like every month you get together with your guy friends, and I really appreciate that. Like you have your Saturday night D&D night.
Yep.
And that's with a whole different group of friends. So
yep.
In this time that people would have said there's no community outside of church, you actually are fostering two different groups of community in your life. And I just think that's...
Yeah, but I don't want to take the credit for me being the one that fosters it. I'm part of it, for sure.
I'm not talking about, like, the semantics of the orchestration of the relationship. I'm just saying, whether the you are intentional about that time. It matters to you. And not only do you have your time that you now spend with your friends, but you also every Sunday have brunch. Whether you make it for all of us and we eat it all at the same time, or I wake up at 2:30 and you offer me pancakes.
Let's be clear. You did not wake up. You were awoken at 2:30.
I was hoping I was waking. Doggone it. Oh, it's going to be on the internet. It's going to be out there. Everybody's going to know.
Everybody. Spread the word. Hear ye, hear ye. Sarah slept till 2:30. Husband woke her up. Happy birthday.
I
only did that because I had no clue what your plans or goals were for the day. And I knew
it was a recovery day.
Well, and I knew that, but I didn't know any details of the small gathering that I had, which was exactly what I wanted. But I also didn't want to have a part of putting it together because that just doesn't interest me to be a part of.
Did you do anything?
No, I didn't. But okay. that's my point, though, is I woke you up because I didn't know anything. So I didn't know if like food was happening in the afternoon and you needed to be like prepping something. So I was like, if people are coming over in 3 hours, I should probably wake up my wife now. Because my clue of what's happening is that guys are coming over.
I was not concerned about any of the guys' arrival at the time or any of it, because exactly when people arrived is exactly who I thought would arrive. Like, my dad would arrive first, so like I had some buffer time because my mom was still going to be there, and then your dad was going to arrive, and so he'd hang out with my dad. Like, I really wasn't worried about like the dynamics of the relationships of anybody there, and I knew people were going to arrive right on time when we needed that next person to come in the room. I think it was perfect. So what was your, like, the highlight of last night? Last night when you had a group of guys over and you guys played games.
We only ended up playing the one, really, and then just talking, which is what I kind of anticipated would happen. I don't know. It was just the whole thing was not a high. I mean, it was playing that game is always fun.
Yeah.
Because it's just controlled chaos.
Who had the worst time playing this game?
I don't think it really. There have been times that we've played it and, like, one person loses every time right away.
Right.
That didn't really happen this time. It spread. Like,
that's good.
I lost immediately twice, but I also won one time. So.
Yeah. Oh. It's a game called We Didn't Play Test This at All, and it's literally in a small, flat, like, jewelry gift box.
Cards.
It's a deck of cards. And each card has an action, and your turn is drawing a card, and then from your hand, you get to do an action of some sort, or somebody else has to do something of some sort, and then there's like a consequence or a benefit.
There's no rules. The only rules are you follow what's on the card. So like someone will throw a card and all they will say is presence, and they'll look at everyone and everyone has to say yes or no to presence, and then the card might say everyone that said no loses because the present was kittens, or it's surprise, the present was snakes. Everyone that said yes loses.
Yeah.
And
then people immediately are out of the game or are still in the game.
It's just a last man standing. It's a lot of fun, and every round is entirely different. So
yeah, it doesn't matter how many times we've played it. It still has that charm of being this really fantastic game to play.
It was interesting, too. That group, no one in it had played.
Yeah.
If Carl had been able to make it, he's the only person I think that would have played it before, because we've played it many times with the Jones.
Yeah, he wasn't feeling so hot.
Yeah.
Told him to stay home if he needed to. I know. What has been one of the highlights of being a dad?
Because
we've had our kids for quite some time.
It's true, 16 and 12 years. Not, that sounds like I was combining that. 16 for the one, 12
for
almost.
Two of them.
Well, yeah, Macy has been around for 16 and 12 years. It's true. Right. Zoe's only been around for 12.
Yeah.
being able to make memories with them. Like, everything is a highlight. I've said it before that, like, I have a hard time kind of with questions like these, because it's like, to me, it feels very similar to the whole, like, you know, how did life change when you had kids? And I've always said it didn't. Like, I never had that moment where it was like, oh my God, everything is different. Because it never was. And the reason it wasn't is because for it to be different means that somehow that that gaining the child, like, in reality, all of a sudden, like, metamorphosized life and, like, clicked on a circuit that didn't exist before. It just felt natural, always, yeah, to me. It just, there was never, like, this, like, cataclysmic shift. It was just, this is life, and this is normal. And that's not to take away from how it is cool. It just, there wasn't something that, like, made me, like, reevaluate the entirety of the world. So similar, like, this question, like, I don't know, all of it is great. Highlight is definitely any time we're able to give them experiences that are, you know, core memories. Like, every time that we're able to take vacations, whether it be big or small, because even just going to the cabin is memorable for them. So highlight is just the times that we are able to be intentional and do something with them, aside from the day-to-day minutia of life.
I would say our trips have been the highlights, which sounds ridiculous because it's the time where you spend the money, you take the photos, you post the pictures, you do the touristy things. All of it all just makes sense. But, and I think we've always tried to be a little bit different than most people, but in reality, we do love our vacations. We just don't go to Disney. Well,
and we, you know, we flip the script compared to some people. Like, for spring break, we don't do much.
Right.
We often stay in the snow.
Right.
And then we go somewhere in the fall.
In the off season. Glorious. Nobody's traveling then. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the only people that are doing both of those is the people that have, you know, they're a different social economics sphere than us.
Yeah.
So to them, what time of year it is isn't a big thing. But for most people, especially when their kids are like the age of ours, it's like spring break is the big thing.
Right.
Like that's when you do something big. And we don't.
And well, the truth is though, our kids would get so burnt out because that's right around the time of finals and tests and everything. So honestly, it's like our love for traveling has trickled down into our kids. They have a love for traveling. Our continual trips to Chicago has given Macy a safe familiarity with a big city, which we helped foster by taking her to New York those two times.
Mm-hmm.
And she, that is her dream, to go and live in New York. And I want to foster that to the best of my abilities. And so far, everybody that she's talking to is encouraging her to do that. And they're not discouraging her like, oh, that'll never happen, it's too expensive. Like, nobody's telling her that because she's got good people around her who are going to actually encourage her just to do the damn thing. Just go live in New York. Even if it's only for 6 months, you lived in New York. How cool. Like, I would be so jealous of her. So jealous of her. So, and you've done a really great job working with Zoe when she gets super emotional and I tap out because I am emotional myself at times and I don't know what to do with myself. I get really overwhelmed with it. And you step in very, very gracefully and graciously into those moments and you help smooth them out to the point where none of us hate each other. I'd say that's a pretty big deal at the age of our kids.
Yep.
A teen and a tween.
Oh boy.
Literally between a child and a teenager. And a kid who's thinking about her future. What has been the biggest change in your life as a son? Because I know, like, you're a kid, and so your parents make all the decisions for you. But as you get older, you make more decisions that have less of an impact on your parents. And, like, I just think about, like, I still make decisions based on conversations I've had with my parents because it's still important to me.
Oh, I was going to say, I've never been that. And still I'm not.
And not what?
My parents don't factor into any decision making.
Has that had an impact on your relationship?
Probably negatively. Honestly.
In a way that you wish was different?
I feel like I'm supposed to. And I feel like an ass saying that, because...
No.
I feel like I'm supposed to feel different about it. I don't know if I do or don't.
Okay. That's fair. I'm not asking you for anything, like, deep, just...
I don't have anything deep. I don't have that relationship like you do, so it didn't factor into my thoughts 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that certainly, I feel, shouldn't be something that increases over time. As you get older as an individual, if you have that relationship with your parents, that still should become less of a consideration, because that's not giving yourself the ownership over your own life. The more, like, if that stays the same or increases, I would argue that that's unhealthy.
Do you think I have a healthy balance or no?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I mean, but I wouldn't have said that your parents come into play for your decision making. So hearing that, I guess, makes sense, but I wouldn't have said that.
Okay.
I wouldn't have realized that your parents factor into any decision making you make. But I know that you're closer, like you do, like you choose to stay in contact in regards to a lot of life things. Mine is more like ancillary, like, oh, I should probably rope mom and dad into this. And that is amongst my things that I'm not great about, which is just connection with people in general. And that one has always fallen farther down on the list for me.
But I still think you have a healthy relationship with your parents.
I disagree.
Despite...
I don't think I do. And that's fine. Okay. I love that you think that, but I don't think I do. I wish that I could say I do.
Yeah.
And that's not me saying, like, that I don't want that. I don't want that to be misconstrued. I'm not saying that, like, I relish in that, but I have a functional relationship with my parents. But functional doesn't necessarily mean healthy. Right?
Correct.
Like, you know, we work well together, but that is about the extent of it. And that's as far as I'm going to comment on that.
No, that's fair. And I appreciate you being honest, because I think for a lot of people who grew up in the conservative Christian evangelical world, parents still have involvement just by proxy, or at least by a level of respect.
Yeah, I guess I have a hard time commenting on that, because that doesn't bear into it. In, like, it is a factor, but this has always been the way. The religion portion of it hasn't really changed the dynamic.
Yeah.
At all. Other than, you know, again, it took away, like, a touch point, like a point where we had not necessarily a connection, but we literally went to the same church for a long time.
Right.
Like, well past being an individual. I mean, hell, it was only, looking back at the photos, it was about 10 years ago that we left there.
Yeah.
So that, in all honesty, wasn't that long ago. So that was, like, a connection that we had on a regular, ongoing basis that then no longer was. So yeah. That plays in, but the actual, like, because again, like, we have very different backgrounds. Like, the performative aspect of religion and how that pertains to, like, your parents never was a factor for me. I was at least aware enough as a kid to just, that was not a, whether I could articulate it or not at the time, I knew that that was an unhealthy thing, period. And I will, to my parents or the people around me, benefit, I know that I got some of that not from my own thinking, but from the way I was being shown to live life.
Then I think you and I obviously just, there are more reasons that lead me to believe that there were great differences in how we were raised.
Oh, yeah, oh, so many. Many, many, many.
So,
but it's weird because, you know, I think we've mentioned this on episodes before. It's like, you had a very, you know, not to put too many words in your mouth, but you had an unhealthy upbringing in many regards, and yet somehow that's, like, in some respects, like, kind of, like, grown and shifted, and mine was healthier in some ways, but, like, has just kind of stayed, like, on a slow downward slope.
And then mine took a nosedive.
Well, yours definitely still has the signature family thing where it's like, it's not, I'm not saying it's growth uphill. It is up with a big down and then up and then another big down and then up and then big down.
Yeah. But what I do appreciate is that my mom has been supportive of me despite the differences that maybe we've had. And she's been very cautious as to how she would approach those conversations. And I'm very grateful for that because I recognize that in true Anna Major fashion, she was going to be diplomatic with me. And she was going to speak respectfully to me because she saw me as an equal. And she wanted to have a conversation with somebody that she had a deep respect for because she knows that I'm not stupid. And I have not come to my differences on a whim. And I appreciate the freedom that my parents have let me have because they've never said... Well, I hope
so. You're an adult.
That's not always the case. That's not always the case, though.
What do you mean?
That adults can leave the faith and still have a relationship with their parents.
Okay, gotcha. I see what you're saying.
So what I'm saying is I'm very grateful for the relationship that I still have with my parents and the respect that they've continued to give me despite our differences. In spite of our differences, they very much still love me. And they respect the fact that I have differences. They just don't like it. Which I'm okay with. They don't... Let me rephrase that, because that's not how I wanted it to sound. They have a... They're perfectly fine with me having the stances that I have, but it breaks their heart because
they don't
have much in the way of an argument. It's just they don't. They've run out of Christianese. And I think that's where my parents have gotten with me. So I'm kind of grateful that they recognize that I've stepped out of their scope of conversation to where we just don't have them any, or we do talk about them, but it's very short and sweet, honestly. I enjoy those conversations. But I wondered if the dynamic had changed, and for you, I'm grateful that it hasn't, because that's part of a tiptoeing that a lot of us adults have had to figure out when we've made life choices that have stepped outside of what we were taught. So I think that's really awesome. And I was just watching Rhett and Link's deconstruction too. So it really got my gears turning, but.
All right. How do you want to wrap this?
If you could take 4 pictures from the memories that you and I have, what would they be?
You're asking for so many, all these over and over, so many specifics. You're asking off the cuff that I, 4 snapshots of what?
Memories. Like if you had 4 pictures. Of you
and me.
Of you and I together.
Wedding day.
Okay.
Is
there a time of wedding day?
No, because I don't remember specifics of it at all like you do. It's just a day to me.
Okay. Well, cool. It's still a highlight.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And these aren't in order. These are how they're coming to me.
Yeah.
Our dating and future discussion in the winter of 2003 going into 4.
Yeah.
Which is what led us to like, all right, well, if we're going to reconnect on that level, like this is like we had the DTR conversation before we were even dating again at that point. So that's, I mean, that directly leads us to here. So, and I'm going to just combine these ones all into one. So
like a collage
trips.
Yeah.
Of just you and mine. So like our anniversary trips going back to our 5th year one when we went to Mackinac, yearly going to Vegas, coming with me to England, coming with me to Israel, coming with me to Germany. So all of the times that we've got to do time just to ourselves is one core one.
Yeah.
And then I would say kind of similarly, I don't know if there's a single pinpoint. I can think of a particular instance, but I know it was multiple conversations in 2020 that we had where we, more me, realized that you were reconsidering who you were from a fill-in-the-blank, from a religious, from a spiritual, from a personhood humanity perspective.
Faith-based.
Yeah. And I know there were many conversations we had, but I distinctly remember one sitting in the bathtub at home and just, like, really connecting and realizing that, like, we were being able to be honest with each other in a way that we had never been able to do in the systemic religion.
Yeah.
And it was probably the, at that point, you know, some of the closest that we ever had been as a couple, in spite of, you know, again, not to make this episode about all of this, but in spite of the years of, like, doing what we were supposed to, but meanwhile being unhealthy or not as healthy as we could have been as a partnership.
Yeah.
And that spring and summer and, you know, it was a combination of just conversations we had, conversations we were having around couples counseling therapy that we were doing, and then the individual ones we were doing with the, I don't remember, whatever they called themselves then counselors. Isn't what they, yeah, it was a podcast with, Seth and Melanie Studley, that we were going through kind of self-guided. Yeah. And just like the combination of all of that and just like stripping back parts of ourselves and connecting on a level that we hadn't probably since we were in high school.
Yeah.
So those would be the four highlight snapshots.
I love it.
From the past 40 years of us.
I think.
Thank you. Someone's messing around at the door, so it's that time. All right, and I'm dripping, so I don't remember. Thank you, Gideon.
And Lindsay and Amanda.
I mean, we'll see if they stuck around. Thank you, Gideon and Lindsay.
If we share the episode, they're going to listen.
I feel like this one is not going to be one that I pimp a ton on Facebook because it's all talking about family.
Oh, it's not. Okay, we'll listen to it.
I don't ever listen to them again. Anyway, bye.
Bye.